This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
Well, the Dow taking a big tumble in the last 2 days. What does it all mean? Part of a spotlight segment on Long Island this morning. The first of two. Craig Ferrantino, certified wealth strategist, president of Craig James Financial Services, in business 28 years. Good to have him back in the fold. Mr. Ferrantino, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Jay. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. Boy, how fitting is it? The State of the Union address, we knew the economy was going to be accentuated in a big way with the markets as far as how they have risen over the last several months in such spectacular ways. And how fitting would it be for the Dow to have a couple of warts yesterday? 363 points taking a tumble, and 540 points, Craig Ferrantino, in the last couple of days. Incredible, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, it's really the first breather that we've had in a long time. When you put down 500 points and you divide that by a Dow of 26,000, you realize it was the percentage drop. It really isn't that. It sounds like a lot of numbers, and we're still, I think a lot of people are still stuck in when the Dow was at 8,000 or 16,000 and you lost 500 points. That was a couple of percent. But at a $26,000 Dow, to lose 500 points is really less significant than it was. Even just, but it's grown so fast that we're not used to, we're at numbers we're not used to. And so, yeah, a sell-off like that, using our old framework, does seem a lot worse than it actually is at a 26,000 Dow.
No question.
If you're maybe down 1.2%, if you had something at 100 and it went to $99, I mean, how panicked are you? But we thought that the 100 was going to like 80. And it was like, oh, okay, that's 20%. That's significant. But the numbers just seem very big. But at the numbers that we're at, it's really a smaller percentage.
Now listen, I understand the sell-off, it's somewhat healthy in essence. I know they prevent stocks from overheating and really kind of give investors, you know, who might be stuck in some sort of way, an opportunity to get back in. But, you know, listen, we're spoiled. I mean, we have seen incredible numbers here. You know, a close on Friday of 26.6 on the Dow, you can understand when people raise an eyebrow. And until yesterday, the S&P actually enjoyed a record long streak without consecutive drops of 0.5. What about concerns as far as Wall Street right now, Craig? I mean, are we to be concerned regarding this bond market, which has been selling off lately, and that's raising a lot of fears? Maybe the era of extremely low bond rates, which has been very good to the market, we know, could be over, or soon at least.
Yeah, so now that's a good point. And Jay, you got to struggle here because you're at a 10-year treasury. It's about 2.7, 2.72. Last time you and I talked, the 10-year treasury was like a 2.19. That was several months ago. So that's a big difference. That is a big difference. So that's like a 20% rise, which means that the demand for bonds is falling. When the demand for bonds is falling, they're going to raise the prices. So and they're going to lower the prices and interest rates go up. So because of that, it all starts with you have a better economy. The economy is healthier. People are getting bonuses. They talk about that. Okay, great, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. You multiply that by how many workers are in society, and you realize that there's that much more money, there's much more cash in the economy for consumers. So now you have more consumers. You have more people with more cash buying the same number of goods, so that make goods go up, you know. And so this all goes into this heating up scenario where, yes, we've improved the economy. The question is, how fast did we need to improve the economy, and then how will the markets react? And so having higher interest rates is one of the ways that the demand for bonds has come down, and so they have to raise the interest rate so that more people be attracted to it. But then you get to a point where you're raising interest rates so much that people say, well, I'm getting a good 6% of my treasury bond. Why do I need to be in the stock market? You know, and so then there'll be a play back and forth there. But we are starting to see an overheated economy because it just grew so fast, and it just the infrastructure of on the other side, the consumer side, wasn't really there or prepared for it.
No question. Talking with Craig Ferrantino, certified wealth strategist, president of Craig James Financial Services and Business, 28 years. You know, Craig, we talk about the drug makers and technology stocks are really, just doing very, very well lately. And, of course, big news yesterday where those stocks kind of maybe dragged the market a bit lower than after what it should have been. Jeff Bezos, of course, from Amazon, Warren Buffett, Jamie Dimon. All unveiling a plan to get into the health insurance business. United Health, CVS, Walgreens, shedding between 4 and 5% apiece. A little bit of an impact yesterday as far as that news, huh?
Yes. It's a big threat. I mean, that's a... we've been using this model for so long in terms of how we deliver health care to the people, and there are three companies coming in, which I think is a brilliant move. You have Amazon and like you said, Berkshire and J.P. Morgan. So when you put it together, you start to look at it and say, why? What are the synergies of these three companies? But then you look at we may have more wearable devices that tell our blood pressure, not just our heart rate and how many times we moved. And, I have a Fitbit on me right now. You start plugging that in, you could at some point say, hey, Amazon, I'm not feeling well. You say, hey, Alexa, I'm not feeling well. And the thing talks to you, and then it reads what's on your watch. And then, so you got, that's the technology part. Read what's on your, or whatever your wearable is. And then it goes into, on the Berkshire Hathaway, they own a few insurance companies, one that advertises every day, like Geico, but there's others that they own. And then you put J.P. Morgan, it's really, when you think about it, it's billing. So when you put the three together, this could be a real disruptor. Now, they're going to do it, they're getting some sort of ideas together for this consortium of three companies. They're going to start with their employees. But if you saw how Amazon has disrupted the block and chain retail and how Amazon's disrupting other things, you're starting to see that this could really be a new approach to healthcare. We're paying more for healthcare every year and getting actually less services for it. So there's got to be some sort of break in this, and the private sector is certainly taking the bull by the horns.
No question. Craig Ferrantino, Craig James Financial, talking about the dip in the markets yesterday. Alarming for some, maybe a bit of relief for others. So what about the Fed Reserve? It's interesting with Janet Yellen about to leave her post, Jerome Powell taking over. It looks like interest rates unchanged, maybe signaling a bit of a tightening of some of the policies, monetarily speaking, later this year. As we know, the economy continues to expand. Job gains remain solid. Investors may be focusing on the central bank's gauge of inflation. Who knows? That's remains stubbornly below its 2% target. What about the Fed Reserve, Craig? Where do you see this going this year, especially with a new man at the helm?
Well, again, I think it continues to speak to shifting gears for an economy that's been sort of in a protection mode, and we need to preserve, we need to keep interest rates low so that businesses can expand. Well, we've removed that equation, and we said, we're going to give you a tax cut from 35 to 21%. So now I don't know if I need interest rates so low. What I think is that for the average consumer, your listener on Long Island, I mean, actually housing prices have gone up. And I thought that, generally it's an inverse. If you're paying more for a mortgage, you say, I used to get a mortgage at 3.75, now I'm paying 4.25 or 4.5. You would think that the owner of the home would have to lower their price to sort of make it, so that the buyer can make their finance ratios. But the fact of the matter is home prices are up and interest rates are up. which really just when you have that both in the same direction like that, people don't mind paying more interest on a mortgage because they have more money coming in because their ratios make sense, and the homeowner is happy because he or she can maintain their price or at that level or, as the reports are saying, at a higher level. So to me, it's quite extraordinary. We haven't seen that in many years.
No question. And listen, the overall outlook, when you think about it, the economy adding, 10 million or so jobs. Unemployment has fallen to a 17-year low. I think it's 4.1% during Janet Yellen's four-year tenure, all while interest rates have slowly risen. That from the near zero levels put in place to fight off the recession, the 2007-09 period. So when you factor in all of that, at least her tenure is somewhat solid as far as passing the baton to Mr. Powell.
Yeah, no, I wasn't saying that. She navigated through the second half of some very serious times, including things we used to talk about, like, you know, quantum easing and QE1, QE2, QE3. So that certainly is a big help. That said, we're in a different economy now. Having more people employed has a lot of benefits, including feeding, you know, things like Social Security, which there weren't enough workers paying into the system. We were always crying about that. Well, if you have more people working, Social Security looks better. When you have more people working, health care looks better. It looks healthier, you know. So people paying into the system and also people getting more, having more to keep in their paycheck really, really is a different, it's a whole different dynamic that requires, which would also bring a new set of problems, but also require a different approach to how we do the Federal Reserve. So, and it's sad to see her go. Looking forward to what we have in the future.
So,
the president's speech, I thought, Jay. Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
What did you think of the president's speech last night? I thought that, the economists watch that too, and this is very important to the markets and for the average investor because I think he was very positive, particularly on the economic side. Sometimes when you put a businessman in charge of a country, some things aren't going to do well, but other things will. And I think that this part, at least, he feels like he's being measured by some of his promises, and they're trying to deliver on what they said they were going to do. And I think that kind of confidence certainly leads to a better market.
No question about it. Listen, I thought it was very positive. I thought it did lack substance as far as really getting into policies. I would like to have heard a little more about that. There's no doubt the economy is doing great. I would love to have seen him give a little credit. I know he does not do that. It's just not his way to his predecessor. I mean, let's face it, under the Obama administration, we had seen the start of a pretty good economy, and this has been the way since the last 72 months or so. So I'd like to have seen a little bit as far as just giving some credit where credit was due. You got to be fair there, but overall, let's face it, he's in a good spot right now. He's taking the reins, and he has accelerated the economy.
Yes, anytime you're making a significant impact, obviously your detractors scream a lot louder. So, and you always get that. And I think that, in terms of our clients and the average investor, I think they're still feeling very confident. I think employers are feeling very confident, and so that's if that's the desired effect. I think he's done a pretty decent job on that.
Talking with a couple of minutes left, Craig Ferrantino, Craig James Financial. I just want to touch upon the auto industry. We know how vital it is as far as keeping this economy going. And I know that automakers on pace to report some modest gains in January, despite forecasts calling for a softer demand in 2018. Are you confident the industry will pick up its pace where it once was?
Absolutely. There's some weather concerns or some extended inventories across the country, but we had some very cold temperatures. People are buying less. But in terms of manufacturing, the automakers are doing a great job putting out cars that the American consumers like. They're doing a better and better job every year, as a matter of fact. And so there's a lot more tech. Cars are becoming technological vehicles. They're spending more on electronics than they are on the actual steel on the engine and things like that. But pretty soon, towards either a self-driving car or a self-navigating car, you're starting to see that. So I think that, yes, and people are replacing cars on a more frequent basis. We had a cash for clunkers program when the last administration was in that did very well in terms of recycling the cars. But the average car is still like 6.4 years old or something. So there's you're going to start to see people handing, you know, getting rid of their older cars and buying new cars in the new future. And if they have more cash in the pocket, they'll feel more comfortable doing that. So I just think it's up for that. It's a good, healthy manufacturing sector in our economy that I think will do very, very well going forward.
No question. Craig, finally, you know, with this new tax bill in place, you know, listen, people are concerned, especially here in New York. We know the hit that many will take, the property tax cap deduction, $10,000, of course, here on the island. And that is a big hit for many as far as write-offs are concerned. More importantly, property values looks like will decline somewhere in the area of 10%, 15%, maybe even 20% in some cases. That is a big concern. What's your take as far as this bill and what it means for many, many Long Islanders?
Well, I don't know what percentage of Long Island homes are paying over $10,000 a year, because you do have a $10,000 a year deduction. You also have a personal exemption of $12,000 per person, so a married couple would have $24,000. So when you put it all in the mix, and if you're paying $14,000, let's say, you can only deduct $10,000 to the $14,000. That'll work against you a little bit, but then when you have the marital, you know, two person filing a joint tax return, you get the $24,000 deduction. Not sure how that's all going to play out. What it is a clarion call, I think, to a lot of these districts, a lot of these areas where taxes just keep going up every year, and that hopefully there was nothing really that could put a brake on it, as you know. So meaning that if you vote a school district budget down, they put it up for another vote. It's only happened two or three times last year. And then it could be voted down again, and then they go to austerity, and your taxes still go up to some percentage. And so I think that has to be really looked at. That's kind of the system we have here in New York, and it's a system that will continue to perpetuate until something changes the dance a little bit. And here's a situation where across the United States, we're only going to give you a deduction of $10,000 of your local state and local tax returns on your federal return, and so that's the first shot across the bow that says, hey, you know, we got to start looking at it. Maybe we can keep our taxes if you're paying 14. How do we lower them to 10,000 so it could be within that federal deduction so everybody's happy? And I think that discussion's just starting to take place here on Long Island.
There you go. Craig Ferrantino, certified wealth strategist, president of the Craig James Financial Services and Business, by the way, 28 years, Broad Hollow Road in Melville. Check out the site, longislandinvestmentadvisors.com. Mr. Ferrantino, good to have you back. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Jay. I truly appreciate it.